Raven, and we are broadcasting live from UBC campus on the unceded, ancestral, and stolen land of the Halkomelem-speaking Musqueam people. Hello, welcome to today's episode. My guest today, or the schmo of the show, if you will, is Juno Award-winning stand-up comedian Dave Merhege. So I interviewed Dave a couple of weeks ago about his new comedy special, I Love You, Habibi, his new Crave comedy special. It's out right now. So what you're going to hear is a pre-recorded interview with the lovely Dave Merhege. So I am going to let Ruby from a couple weeks ago take it away, and please enjoy the show. All right, Ruby, let's get to it. Welcome to Not My First Schmodio. I'm your host, Ruby Raven, and today our guest is Dave Merhege. He is a Juno Award-winning comedian who will premiere his new comedy special, I Love You, Habibi, on Friday, July 29, on Crave. I Love You, Habibi is a love letter to family and home featuring Dave Merhege's signature stand-up style with a backdrop of the Ambassador Bridge and interviews with his parents and siblings. Filmed in front of a live audience at the 2021 Just for Laughs Festival, I Love You, Habibi is a stand-up comedy special where Dave talks about growing up in Windsor with his Lebanese family and going to therapy in a culture that doesn't really do that. Dave is a co-star on Rami on Hulu and co-stars in the upcoming film Sometimes I Think About Dying, directed by Rachel Lambert. Hello, Dave. You got a lot going on.
Oh, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right.
So just before I get started, I was interviewing a comedian named Maddie Kelly a couple weeks ago. I told her I'd be interviewing you, and she got really excited, and she said verbatim, he is one of the best stand-ups in the world. And she told me that I could pass that message along to you.
Oh, that's so sweet.
She was really excited. Yeah, she's hilarious. She's really funny. Okay, so tell me a little bit about yourself. You're Canadian, you grew up in Windsor. What was it like growing up in Windsor, Ontario?
I mean, it was... I don't know. It wasn't like, you know, people have like certain, ideas of what Windsor is, you know, even if, who don't live there, and certain opinions about it, you know, sometimes, most of the times it's not good. right. Yeah. But I guess when you live there, you don't really, like, you see those things they say that are bad, but you kind of also grew up there. It's like, you know, I know some people grow up where they hate where they grew up, but I didn't. I kind of, you know, there was a big Lebanese community there. I come from a Lebanese background, so that was always there. So I always felt there was culture, and there was my heritage was there. And most of my family, I'd say 90% of my family, cousins, aunts, grandparents, you know, they were all there. So the family was in the city. You know, it was a very multicultural city. I don't know if people know that. It's like Polish, Greek, Italian. There's a big populations in Lebanese people, you know, Muslim and Catholics. And yeah, it's a lot of my fondest memories are from there. I left maybe, I think, when I was 24. So I graduated from St. Clair College. And I think a year later, I moved to Toronto. So I had, like, you know, and I started my stand up there. I would go over to Michigan and not get paid, obviously, but do open mics there. So yeah, I have a very fond memory of it.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you know, when I think comedy in Canada, I don't think Windsor. So I'm wondering what was the comedy scene like there, and what was it like for you to get started in Windsor?
I mean, there wasn't that many. It was like Yuck Yucks had like an amateur night, and it actually was a battle of bands first, and they had a couple comics go before that. And then when Battle of Bands stopped, they did a pure amateur night, I think, for only 4 or 5 months, and it stopped. So we really had to create our own places. There was a place called Leo's Comedy Corner. I think it was called Leo's. Yeah, yeah. And Leo DeForo, it was like a comedian who worked in the U.S., but it's from Windsor. And I think he's from Windsor, but he the club was there. So there wasn't that many, but I mean, we had the opportunity to cross over the border and do, you know, the open mics there. So there was like not necessarily a Windsor comedy scene, like a big one, but we had the luxury of Detroit and Michigan.
Right. And in your new special, I Love You, Habibi, your parents and siblings are interviewed, and you talk, you know, you just mentioned before you grew up in like a really large family. How did growing up in your family specifically, do you think, primed you to be funny?
Our family's very funny, like, just how they are as people, and like, how do I explain it? Like they tell funny stories. Their being is funny. You know what I mean? There was always humor in the household. That's how we broke tension. But like, it wasn't anything that we were trying. It was just like, that's how naturally we were. So I think I got like a lot of my humor from my family, for sure.
Is there like any funny moments in the special that you're excited for people to see? Like, are you excited for people to see your family being hysterical?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know if they're gonna, they are hysterical, but is they get to really give an opinion on the jokes that is being told. We get to discuss things. We discuss depression, therapy. There's a joke where my dad, used to fall asleep watching porn, and my mom would catch him. It would be on blast. So they, you get to, he, I tell the joke, and then my brother and my parents respond to that. So you're gonna get to see a real-time reaction from them.
And why did you want to film that? I mean, did you have these conversations before you put it on film, or were you like, this is the first time we're doing it ever?
No, I don't know. I think it just came to me when I was thinking about ideas, and I was like, oh, that'd be cool. And then they were really cool about it. I called them up. I asked them. They don't really care. That's the thing. They don't. I'm like, this is gonna stream, and they're like, whatever. They're very confident in who they are and comfortable with the things that are being said. Like I don't think they're. And there's a part at the special where my mom says that. Like she tells you why she's comfortable with me making jokes about her and the whole family. So you get the insight there.
Do you think that's why you're so comfortable, like letting it all hang loose on stage and being able to share whatever, because your parents are comfortable with that and that gives you a sort of weird permission?
I mean, I think like my parent, like dad says what he wants, and he has really no filter. Sometimes it's too much, but in a sense that, yeah, they don't really like they're comfortable, not, it's not even exposing, you know what I mean? If it's not, I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just telling our story and stuff. And my mom's just a big supporter in my dream. So she's like, well, if this is what he has to do, then this is what he has to do. It's a very loving thing.
Yeah, that's lovely. Is there anything that you're still too afraid to talk about on stage?
Yeah, there's some stuff I'm still nervous about, 100%. Yeah, some more personal stuff that's, that eventually will get out there, but yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, you feel like you're kind of working up towards talking about that stuff, or is there stuff that you are 100% sure you're never going to talk about?
It's working up to it. I mean, a lot of the stuff has been working up to it. Get when you age, when you get to a certain point in your life or age-wise, you feel more comfortable. The time it might take longer for you to develop the joke, but yeah, I don't think it's anything that I feel like off limits.
Really? So you think that like everything about yourself should be for the writing and for the interpretation and for the comedy?
I think so, but I mean, I don't know. There hasn't been anything really that's like super, super, super private that I have that I feel like I can't discuss just yet. So,
And you talk about therapy, but what do you think is like funny about therapy?
I mean, it's like, I don't, I mean, for me, it's like trying to. I'm the funny part is when I was telling the therapist about my mom, she's like, there's gonna be some things I'm gonna say about your mom you're not gonna like. And it was the idea that I got defensive. I was like, well, you're not gonna say that. Like, it's just like, so it, I think that made me laugh. But I don't, there is, probably is funny stuff about therapy is, it's hilarious. You are talking to this person, unloading on this person all these emotions and this behavior. It is kind of hilarious. You're in their office and stuff like that. So I don't know. I think there is humor
Yeah,
in it, of
totally.
course.
And I just want to talk about for a second. You're on Rami, the show on HBO.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Sorry.
Hulu. Oops. Yeah, you're on Rami.
In
Hulu.
America and Stars and Crave in Canada.
Crave in
And
Canada.
other places in the world too, but I know it's Hulu is the American streamer.
Yeah. How did you get that job?
I mean, I through auditioning, but I mean, I've known Rami for a while. I knew him for over 10 years. So he had told me that his show was being greenlit and they were going to film a pilot. And he asked me if I wanted to audition. I said yeah. He sent me the audition while I was actually in Beijing. I was doing comedy in Asia. I couldn't really get a reader. So he just said, do a monologue. And I had to find someone to film. And this person was like, didn't know what self-tapes were. I didn't even know what the show was about. And they were in my hotel room recording and they had my phone in the air. Like they were recording with my phone. And I do the first take or first try. And she puts the phone down and she goes, do it again. So I was like, oh shit. I think I bombed and did it again. She okayed that one. And then 3 days later, I got a text from my agent that you're like, you get to film the pilot, like a scene in the pilot. Mm-hmm. And we did that. I think a month later, it was in December. And then months later in April, he called me and he said the show got greenlit. So that was like 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. I can't remember. Yeah.
Wow. And what do you love about that show?
I mean, it's just, I feel it's just a great show, even if I was on it or not. I think it's really well done. I think it's unique. I don't think there's anything out there like it. I like the whole cast, and the cast is like family, and then the whole crew. Every year it feels like it's like everyone wants to be there. They love the story. So you're on a set, and in Rami himself, his energy is great. He is the lead, and it's about his energy kind of makes all of our energy, because you know he sets the tone. So I love it. I think it's one of the greatest experiences I've ever had.
That's amazing. And your new movie directed by Rachel Lambert, Sometimes I Think About Dying. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
There's a short called Sometimes I Think About Dying, which I think people should check out. It was like, it got, I believe, yeah, I went to Sundance and it was shortlisted for an Oscar. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that was such a great experience filming, mm-hmm. working with Rachel and everybody. And also acting, the whole cast was amazing. And then, you know, I've never been in a movie, and this is like, you know, I got to be a co-lead with Daisy Ridley, who's just an exceptional actress. And that was a great experience. She's super, super lovely, funny. And it was a great time, man. I'll never forget that time.
When does the movie come out?
I don't know. And I really can't, you know, I don't really know. I don't have information. I promise you, I don't have that information.
So you're an actor, but obviously like stand-up is, would you say stand-up is like your first love, or are you feeling both of them?
No, I mean, stand-up was something I love. I will always love it, but I wanted to go from stand-up to acting. That was the end goal, was always to get into acting.
Right. Yeah. And what is your process writing as a stand-up?
I mean, it's not really a writing, I guess. It's like, I'll get an idea and I'll probably put it in my notes on my phone, and then I'll go up and go on stage and run it a bunch of times. I'll try to find it on stage more so on paper. So it really, depending how many sets I can do to get it to a point that I think it's funny. But the process is mostly writing on stage.
So where are you right now?
Right now I'm at the Just Burlaps Comedy Festival. So it's, I started doing shows here July 13th on a show called For the Culture. And I will be here till July 31st. I do the Russell Peters Gala on that day, and I leave on August 1st.
And do you like Montreal? Like, what's the comedy like there?
I mean, the comedy is great here. I've been coming since 2009, I think, maybe earlier, but it's a great city for comedy. I mean, this is one of the biggest comedy festivals in the world. So it's like everyone's here. The energy is great. Audiences really, really love comedy.
Right. And In some of the stand-up that I've seen on YouTube of you, you talk about growing up Catholic. Yeah. And what, I know I've asked you this a couple times, but what is funny about growing up Catholic or going to Catholic school? Was there a lot of humor in Catholic school, or did they repress it, or?
No, I mean, I wasn't like, we didn't go to like, I guess we just went to Catholic Central. It wasn't like I don't know what like a pure Catholic school is. It was like, we still had humor. It's just my mom was super religious. So was my sister is. And yeah, there was like, there's funny stuff about it. I mean, you can find funny in everything. I mean, just the whole idea of guilt and shame is hilarious. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, getting paranoid about these sins that you've committed, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Is like funny to me. My mom was just like, also like, you know, when I was like younger, she said if I masturbated, Jesus would choke me in my sleep. Like that type of stuff would be like.
Did he?
No, I'll tell you, no, he did not. I'm still, you know, I'm still going and doing it, you know.
And like you talk about some of the shame and the sins and all that in your special. Do you feel like that still follows you around, or like did you let that go?
I'm slowly letting it go. I don't think it follows me like it used to, especially, I mean, if we're saying in high school, I'm over that.
Right. Are you still like practicing Catholic?
I mean, I'll pray before I go to bed, but I mean, I don't go to church. I don't really, follow the institution of it. Like, I've read the Bible, but I mean, I don't follow it. So I just, I pray, started, I prayed during Ramadan, like, so I've done stuff like that too. I've explored other religions. I think it's just a relationship between you and God, really.
That's awesome. How would you describe the comedy scene in Canada right now?
I mean, it's a lot of great stuff coming out, especially TV wise. I think TV wise, a lot of great content's coming out. And then, especially with these Crave specials as well, a lot of good stand up. There's a lot of dope stand up comedians in Canada, Chris Robinson, Patrick Hakeem, Sandra Badalini, Ali Pearce, Marito Lopez. This is like so many great comics, Dino Archie, Nick Reynoldson, Keith Pedro. The list can go on. Arthur Simian. I could just run that list.
All right, well, thank you so much for giving me some of your time. We'll be back for the Schmoment in a second. But I Love You, Habibi comes out July 29 on Crave. So go check out that special, and we'll be right back after the Oh Schmo You Don't segment.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca. to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
Like some perfect prey, and I'll never be a moonlight.
You're listening to Spill Tap, a musical artist who grabs disparate feelings, sounds, tones, and textures and pieces them together in a patchwork of lo-fi alternative pop bliss. Spill Tap will be performing in Vancouver on September 15th at the Fox Cabaret. See you there.
Welcome back to Not My First Schmodio. I'm a correspondent, Libby, and this is the Oh Schmo You Don't segment, where we interview some temporary non-schmoes who are experts in their field. Today, our guest is Toby MacGyver. Toby is an expert real estate forecaster. Toby's observations and predictions about where the hottest new neighborhoods and best new real estate will be has sent millions flocking to new locations. She's here today to promote her new book, Renting on the Moon. Hello, Toby. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Libby.
So, Toby, you've bought and sold over 150 homes. You've lived in over 40 cities in 100 different neighborhoods, chasing fads and desirable locations. So, tell me, where is the next hot place to live?
Well, Libby, I have been a real estate forecaster for over 30 years, and I can tell you the next place everyone is going to want to be living is a new neighborhood being built on the moon.
The moon? In outer space?
Yes, that's the one, Libby. I have been in this game a long time, and the real estate market on Earth has become a bit oversaturated. I don't know if you've heard. It's too expensive, homes are too small, and everywhere is getting hotter or colder or something. You said it yourself. I have always been one step ahead of the housing market, and now I am predicting desirable housing on the moon. I happen to know of an absolutely stunning complex being built as we speak. It's called Moon's Landing. Can you guess why? It has townhomes, apartment buildings, and detached homes. It comes fully furnished with brand new kitchens and hardwood floors.
And which types of people would want to live in these places?
Every category of person is going to want to live there. It's stunning. It's for trendsetters, free spenders, economic attempters, and environmental betters.
Can you break down these terms for me? Who are the trendsetters?
Trendsetters are the people who are always one step ahead of everyone else. I, for example, could be considered a trendsetter. These are the people who know what type of jeans are cool and what type of jeans are gross and terrible. And most importantly, they know where to live before all the fake posers show up. You know, they were in Brooklyn way before everyone else was. And these people, these trendsetters, they are talking about Moon's Landing. They are really talking about it. I mean, who wouldn't be talking about a living room, dining room with bay windows? I mean, Zendaya's there, for God's sake.
Zendaya, really?
No. That is a lie. But she might be in the future. You know, the thing about Zendaya is you never know where she's going to be next.
And who are the free spenders?
Well, the free spenders are the auteurs of space travel.
Don't know if you're using that word correctly.
They are the Jeff Bezoses, the Richard Bransons, the Elon Musks. Do you have money? Prove it. Rent a detached home on the moon. Detached homes come with a fully landscaped garden and a fire pit. Doesn't that sound fun?
What about the economic attempters? Who are they?
Oh, bless their souls. These are the majority of renters. They're young people, single, married, or with families, and they can't afford to buy homes or to live in any place bigger than a shoebox, but these places on the moon offer an oasis, a spunky way to live that doesn't break the bank.
So these economic attempters can afford to rent a detached home?
Oh, no. For them, we have basement suites and laneway houses, but the laneway houses are two stories, so there's a lot more room than you would think.
The people at Moon's Landing built a brand new civilization on the moon with the ability to include or exclude any part of what exists on Earth, and they chose to build laneway homes.
It's just what the market calls for.
What? How?
And environmental betters are the last category. These are the people who are just better to the environment. You know, they bike to work, they eat chicken spelled with two K's and an apostrophe N.
They conserve water. They don't buy fast fashion. But I'll tell you what, Libby, it's simply not enough. Their carbon footprint is still the size of a Sasquatch in the forest. In order to really save the planet from freezing, you gotta leave it.
Burning.
Yes, burning, freezing, whatever. The point is that you are lying to yourself and everyone you know if you claim to be an environmentalist and you're not living on the moon.
And you mentioned that the neighborhoods on the moon will be cool and hip. Have amenities been built?
Oh, Libby. Some absolutely incredible amenities have been added. We are planning on developing shopping centers, parks, movie theaters, bars, restaurants, go-karting arenas, more than one, and a lot of other really fun stuff.
Did you say we? Are you developing this neighborhood?
Oh, yeah, did I not mention that I personally bought 1/16 of the moon's circumference?
No, I don't think you did.
I didn't mention that I spent my life savings on building beautiful homes on the moon. I didn't say that earlier.
No, and I don't think you mentioned that in your book either. You just wrote that as a real estate forecaster, this is what you were forecasting.
Oh, well, I didn't think it was important. You know, the important part is that as a renowned real estate forecaster, you should listen to me about this neighborhood being hot, hot, hot. Muy caliente. I would like to apologize for the mole caliente. That was uncalled for.
Why exactly did you choose to buy and develop this plot of land?
Okay, I guess I can talk about that. To be honest, I was fresh off a divorce and I needed a challenge. You know, as a landlord and real estate mogul, I've conquered it all. New York, Beijing, London. And Jerry, my ex-husband, always said I didn't have it in me to purchase and develop apartments on the moon. So I thought, hey, why don't I take it a step further and develop not only apartments, but townhomes and detached homes on the moon? Really show him what happens when you doubt old Toby MacGyver. Plus, I needed to pay for my divorce. I did not go down without a fight. I was extremely unreasonable.
Well, that's all the time we have today. Thank you, Toby, for tricking me into letting you advertise your new civilization on the moon.
You are welcome.
You can buy Toby's new book, Renting on the Moon, in stores or online. Bye now.
Bye. Thank you.
Woman, she played too rough, she laughed too loud, she talked too much, too much, too much, she just too much. I wanna be her when I grow up. I wanna be her when I grow up. Smile, smile, girl, you better smile. Show me what I wanna, what you're feeling on the inside. Dance, dance, girl, you better dance. Don't talk like you got any thoughts in your head. I wanna kill less, careless. I wanna kill less, careless. I wanna kill less. A careless woman, she played too rough, she laughed too loud, she talked too much, too much, too much, she just too much. I wanna be her when I grow up. I wanna be her when I grow up. Cry, cry, you better not cry. Don't make me look bad in front of all the guys. Your body is mine to play with the legislated, honey, I'll decide. Careless, I wanna kill less. 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 A careless woman, she played too rough, she laughed too loud, she talked too much, too much, too much, she just too much. I wanna be her when I grow up. I wanna be her when I grow up. I wanna be her when I grow up.
Are you looking to relax and enjoy the outdoors?
Then come play outside with Matt Collective. An inclusive and open community available to all. Matt Collective has a mix of free and paid classes and events starting June 1st. They can be found at iconic Vancouver locations like Kitts Beach, Stanley Park, and Canada Place. Mat Collective is a non-profit and proceeds go to support local community programming. So come have a stretch and engage in community building all at the same time. Visit matcollective.com for more information. That's matcollective.com.
Welcome back to Not My First Schmodio. I'm your host, Ruby Raven. Today, our guest is Dave Merhej. He's a Juno Award-winning comedian who will premiere his new comedy special, I Love You, Habibi, on Friday, July 29 on Crave. So we just had the interview with Dave. Now we're coming back for the Schmoment. So the Schmoment is the part of the show where we expose times that we've just really, really embarrassed ourselves in public, something truly humiliating, because this is my movement. I'm trying to normalize embarrassing yourself in public and making a fool of yourself. And to me, a schmo is like a regular person slash fool. So I really just want to embrace everyone's schmo. So I'm wondering if you can share with me a couple schmoments from your life.
Man, there's so many, dude. I would say I put it, one time I put a spoon in the microwave when I was heating it up.
What happened?
A friend of mine caught it and then they started calling me Spoonie.
Did it stick?
It stuck for a bit. Like, I mean, it was between a small group of people. I had worked a summer job at the beer festival in Toronto. Yeah. And that's what they called me on the crew, the people I was working with. They started to pass that name around and told the story. Because my friend worked with us and he was there. He was the one that witnessed it. So that one, I'm trying to think. I always like not twist my ankle, but sometimes I'll fall. You know, that weird, like I trip. I think it actually happened here at Montreal during the Just for Last Festival. I went outside, left the hotel, and I hit like a little, you know how sometimes the ground is higher up and I trip. Oh. I didn't fall fully, but I did that trip and then I try to look up and everyone knows you did that.
Yeah.
But you try to play it off like you didn't do that. And that's I find myself doing. Man, there's like so many.
Is there a specific moment, like a story that you have of a time when you really like embarrassed yourself? Maybe on stage, maybe not. Maybe with a partner, like a young dating story or something like that.
Yeah, I remember like it was something sexual. Can I talk about sexual stuff? Or is
go ahead. Sexual? Yeah.
I had like gone early. I hadn't even got like, I had gone, I guess, when I wasn't supposed to go and it stained the sheets, like the sheets were stained. And she was in the bathroom and I was trying to clean it or whatever. I don't know how I was. And she came back and then this spot got bigger. And then she's just looking at the bed and we're standing up and she was, what is that? And I'm like, I think I try to pass it off as something else. I was like, and this is disgusting too. I can't believe I'm saying this. Like long time ago, at my buddy's place, he had a roommate. We're playing video games. I go to take a number two, but I'd wiped too fast, and some of it fell to the ground. I didn't realize, and I
wait. How do you wipe so fast that some of the poop falls on the ground?
I was wiping wrong back then. That's all I could do. I was wiping wrong and I go out and I continue to play video games. My buddy's roommate, I think, stepped in it. And he came out snapping. He goes, did somebody fucking shit? Oh, sorry. Somebody shit on the ground. I was like, no. And my boy looked at me. He goes, you just went to the bathroom. I go, I wasn't me, dude. And then he's like, they were both like, it has to be you. I go, they had a dog. His roommate had a dog. I was like, maybe it was your dog. He's like, it's not my dog. I know what the difference between human and dog is. And I'm like, whatever. And I denied it hardcore. We go do a show at night and I'm wasted. And my buddy leans in and he goes, man, come on, just tell me the truth. And I remember leaning over and being like, I did it. It's like at 1 a.m. He's like, ah. I just care. I'll never forget his roommate being like, it's dog. I know the difference. Yeah, well, you try to blame my dog.
You're just gaslighting him into thinking it's his dog.
That has to be a very embarrassing
moment. Yeah, that's pretty embarrassing because it stuck around and you admitted to it. But good for you. See, that's following in the footsteps of my movement. It's just admitting those embarrassing moments at the time when you completely humiliate yourself.
I mean, it wasn't the first time. I'll leave it at that. I won't tell the other parts. So there was multiple years that was happening.
I mean, we got time.
No, it's just that it happened like two other times. I remember my old roommate stepped in it with his socks and I was sleeping and he was like screaming from downstairs and he opens my bedroom door and he goes, "Did you? It's on my sock." And I just
wait. Is this from because you were wiping in the same way?
Wiping the same way for many years.
And what was the technique?
My buddy, I can't. It was disgusting. It was actually front. It was back to front.
Oh my God.
Front to back. And my best friend had to tell me like 4 years ago. He was like, what's happening? And then and I told him, he goes, "That's how you've been wiping your ass for most of your life?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "That's nuts." So then now I'm back.
But how did it get on the floor? I don't understand.
It was like I was going
from back to front, gets it on the floor. Was it like a chunk or was it like a little?
A little. It's like a little one, like a little tiny, tiny chunk.
So you were you like waving your arms around and it was flying off the toilet paper?
Yeah, I was doing act outs. That's how I take dumps. I do like a mime thing and then I wipe. I'm very, you know, I like very big with my hand and stuff. I don't really know.
That's old school though. That's what people did to entertain themselves while they were pooing before phones.
Yeah.
You're just old school.
Old school.
Okay, but sorry, I interrupted you before. Your roommate stepped on your shit.
Oh, he stepped on it, put on his sock. And I took a nap before that. I went to the bathroom and took a nap, so I can hear in my almost sleep this man is screaming. And he opens the door, and I had nothing for him. He's like, "It's on my sock." And I was just, I don't know, man. Like, I don't even remember what I said. I knew I was caught.
Did no one teach you how to wipe your ass when you were a kid?
They probably did, and then I went rogue, dude.
Do you remember what age you started wiping this way, or was it always?
Always. I can't even remember when it started.
And you do it in the normal human way now?
Yeah, now I'm better. Now I'm a better human being.
You really had to go away and think about it, though.
Yeah, I did. But I mean, I'm back on track now. Okay. I even now use wipes. You know, those like wipes, the proper wipes and stuff.
Wipes?
Yeah, like almost like the Cottonelle wipes.
Like baby wipes?
Yeah.
You don't use regular toilet paper?
I use both.
It feels like you're overcompensating for all the years you were doing it wrong.
No, you should try wipes, man. They're great.
Like they're like moist, the moist wipes?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Maybe I'll give, I don't know if I have that type of funds, but maybe when I'm older, I got more money.
Expensive.
How much do they cost?
Very cheap. I can find out for you.
Yes, please follow up with me about the price of the Cottonelle wipes so that I can wipe my ass appropriately.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to share a moment. Every episode, I need to be fair and share a moment too. I embarrass myself like so constantly. But one story is a couple weeks ago, I was in Victoria visiting my friends and we were trying to get out of a parking spot. We're just parking on the street. And there was this asshole guy, he was maybe in his 60s, and he was honking at us. And we were trying to help him like park, get our parking spot. But I guess he thought we were like trying to screw him over or something. So we pull up and he waits so that we pull up beside him. And he goes, "Hey, fuck you." And I was like, no. Like, I'm not having any of this toxic masculinity. Like, I'm going to say something to him so profound. I'm going to say something so earth shattering that he completely reevaluates his whole political view on society. Like, this is not the interaction that I'm having. So I stick my head out the window and I go, "Sweetie, like, I'm going to prepare you. I'm not going to engage with you in this aggressive manner." And as soon as I said, "Sweetie," I was like waiting for something really profound to come into my head. And then I was just going to say it and we were going to drive off dramatically. But I couldn't, the time was ticking and I couldn't think of anything. So I just said, "Sweetie, suck a bag of dicks." And we drove away. And I was like, Fuck, I really thought I was going to say something so profound. And it was suck a bag of dicks. Also, I resent the fact that sucking a bag of dicks is an insult. I think that it should not be used to insult someone. If someone wants to suck a bag of dicks, it shouldn't be used against them. You know what I mean? So I'm also mad at myself for that.
I mean, sucking a bag of dicks is a fun time.
Yeah, right. And if maybe he the man who I was yelling at likes to do that, and I don't want to shame him for that. So yeah, you know, I think that was maybe the schmoiest part, was that I was stigmatizing sucking a bag of dicks, which I never want to do.
You don't ever want to do, but I mean that was hilarious.
Yeah, my friends were like. Also, I was, like, in a car with, like, a bunch of, like, young women. So they were like, please don't yell at strange men aggressively when they could, like, follow us in their car. I was like, yeah, that's on me. I'm sorry about that. But apparently he looked, like, really, really shocked. But, yeah, that is my moment.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you for receiving it. I felt like you really received it.
I did.
All right, well, Dave, this was such a fun time. Actually, before I do the whole wrap up, this is what you have coming out. Are there any Vancouver stand-ups that you think I should be checking out? Or
Chris Griffin, Rita Lopez, Dino Archie, Malik LSL.
Malik, yeah.
Great. Maddie, of course. Mm-hmm. Ethemios. Hold on. There's like so many, man. Andrea Jin, Sophie Butto. No, Sophie's in, what's it called? In LA now. Ivan Decker. Who else? Yeah, there's so many, man. I mean, there's so many. I would check out Rostock. Go to Little Mountain, is it?
Little Mountain's gone now. They tore it.
Or the new one. They're doing the new one. There's a new location. Yeah, I would check out. Just go to Rostock's Instagram, and he has like great lineups on there, so I would Yumi is great. I would check. Yeah, this scene is great. There's too many to name.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. And are you coming to Vancouver anytime soon?
No, not. I was just there with Rick Mercer in May, and yeah. I was in Victoria as well. But no, not yet. I mean, I'll let you know.
Yeah, please do. I would love to come see your show. All right. Well, thank you so much for giving me all this time with you, Dave. You're really hilarious, and I really cannot wait to watch your special. I think I'll probably watch it. Maybe I'll watch it with my parents. I think that'll be like a full circle.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, have an awesome time in Montreal, and thank you so much for the time you gave me today.
Thank you.
You can see I Love You, Habibi, a love letter to family and home featuring Dave Marhej's signature stand-up style with a backdrop of the Ambassador Bridge and interviews with his parents and siblings on Crave. On July 29, it's filmed in front of a live studio audience at the 2021 Just for Laughs Festival. I Love You, Habibi is a stand-up comedy special where Dave talks about growing up in Windsor and his Lebanese family and going to therapy in a culture that doesn't really do that. All right. Thank you so much, Dave. Have a great time.
Thank you so much. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Join us every Saturday from 8 till noon for Saturday's Edge with your host, Steve Edge, as he guides you on a journey to world and roots music, with African, Latin, and European music in the first half, followed by Celtic, blues, songwriters, and Cajun in the second half.
I'm Walter Cronkite. I'd like you to hear something. They're radio fans, amateurs, giving of their own time and spending their own money.
CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Your volunteer-run station.
They're just two average guys who saw the need and volunteered.
You know what I like? Ice cold killer with my eye on the prize. Give good face, you adjust my type. Did a double take, please tell me on the mic. Cut it up and chill it out, pass that pipe. Looking at you up and down, man, I just might. Big slick tricks in a bag full of bones. You know how I feel when I say I'm alone. You know what I want when I say I'm at home. Whip to the spot, round quarter past 10. Don't say lies when I ask for your bend. Don't say truth when I try to pretend. Maybe you do want to deck up gems, diamonds, take you to the spot in the bands. You know how I act when I'm with my friends. Condescend to apprehend the tense. Spend a few wrecks just to act real cruel. Act real cute when I see it in the mood. When I try to get you in the nude, Cupid, have me walking far in the mules. Devil in the new dress, drop out of school. Baby, you know what I like to do, what I like to say when I bend all the rules. I was on the back of your mind, I was on the back of your lap. You were in the back of the car, you were in the back of my heart. I was in the back of the bar. You know what I do, take things too far. Don't know what
what it started to begin. Don't know how it ends. Don't know how to say what I meant. Don't know how to say how I feel. Baby, is it real? I was in the back of your mind. I was in the back of your lab. You were in the back of the car. You were in the back of my heart. I was in the back of the bar. You know what I do? Take things too far. Don't know what it started to begin. Don't know how it ends. Don't know how to say what I meant. Don't know how to say how I feel. Baby, is it real? Come to the edge of the night. Come to the start of your life. I'm at the edge of the night. I'm at the start of a fight. I wanna see you. I wanna see you. Come to the edge of the night. Come to the start of your life. I'm at the edge of a knife. I'm at the start of a fight. I wanna see you. I wanna see you. I was in the back of your mind. I was in the back of your lab. You were in the back of the car. You were in the back of my heart. I was in the back of the bar. You know what I do? Take things too far. Take things too far. You know what I do? I take things too far. I take things too far. Come to the edge of the night. Come to the start of your life. I'm on the edge of a knife.